I've read the fiery gospel written burnished rows of steel. As you deal with my condemner, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on.
Ready to go again, huh? All right, we're going to move into our next study here. We'll start out with this verse here. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, from Revelation 18, verse 2. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Excuse me. All right, so this topic will be the 10 horns hate the whore. And we're going to talk about that verse, these verses that we were looking at a little bit during our last study. From Revelation 17, verse 16, we'll just review them here. The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So really what we're seeing here, I got a diagram to kind of try to simplify this. We're seeing two different New World Orders. You see one where Mystery Babylon reigns over the beast. You see she's sitting on the beast there? Babylon will fall, will be burned up by the 10 kings, and there will be no woman sitting on top of the beast. You see, I wish I had the same beast, but it's the same beast, just no woman on there. The ten horns, or the 10 kings, replace Mystery Babylon. That's a huge thing that I was able to finally figure out, because I always looked at Mystery Babylon as existing all the way until the very end, and that's what gets destroyed. But we're going to find out that she falls before the Antichrist and the 10 kings reign for their period of time. So in other words, it's a power shift of world domination. And we've seen that throughout history all the time. You go from the Babylonians to the Persians, to the and then after Persia, it was Greece, and then Rome, and then today, Mystery Babylon. All right, so I'm going to go back to Revelation chapter 14, verse 8, and read some verses that I know many of you probably haven't looked at. I mean, I didn't realize it before. You'll see what I'm saying. Let's read them here. Revelation 14, verse 8. I'll give you a second to turn there. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So what you see here right in these verses, it's very, very obvious. Two angels here. This is the second angel here. The first angel came out with the gospel in this chapter. The second angel comes out and he says, Babylon the Great is fallen, that great city. There you see it is there again there. It's not just a figurative system. It's a system that's headquartered in a city. And then after she falls, the third angel comes out and says, here's the warning, you better not take the mark of the beast. So you have two time periods here. You have Mystery Babylon, you have the 10 horns with the beast. Come after that. And I'll go back and look at that for a second here with you. I'm gonna say this real quick before I turn to that slide. I thought that was curious. Now that I might be reading into this. It says Babylon is fallen twice. Now, Mystery Babylon today, I have no doubt, is New York City. And the World Trade Center, the two World Trade Center buildings, fell one after the other. So it seems interesting. You know, God gives us signs on earth. He said he'd give us signs, you know, on the earth and in heaven. And those two towers coming down, I think, were definitely a sign. You know, because those were the symbols of the New World Order, the symbols of man's might, man's economic power, his... I mean, they were the symbols, just like the Tower of Babel. It was the symbol of what man can do on his own. And they fell one after the other there, so I thought that's interesting. And I'm going to show you something today that it's going to be... we'll get to it. You'll see why this all ties together. Ground Zero is a very important place in biblical prophecy. I mean, it's already changed the entire world, that one event. All right. So we got there the two new world orders, Mystery Babylon over the beast, then the ten kings with the beast. All right. Now, if New York City, or we could say because she represents America at this point, if we were to translate it that way, America would fall, and possibly the Islamic nations along with Russia and China, who do hate us, by the way. Remember, it says God put in their hearts to hate the whore. I mean, they express their hatred towards. You go over to the Middle East, the Islamic nations, they hate us with a passion. And God's done that before. He said he would raise up enemies against us. I mean, here we are living this life full of... In America, we're producing, I've talked about before, Hollywood, pornography, everything that's filthy, everything that comes from Mystery Babylon, and we're pushing it out to the world and telling them they need to live like us. And they don't like that. Now, they worship a false god, obviously, too, but God will still use pagan or god or false people who believe in false religions to punish other people who are believing in false religions. So you're seeing this movement today. I mean, this is what we're seeing. It's even taken over our own country. We probably even have a president who really is a Muslim as well. I mean, he was growing up. I don't think he's changed his views on that. All right. Anyways, I'm going to move to the next slide here. This is from Lady Liberty again, the Ancient Goddess of America by Richard N. Rhodes. I'm going to be reading a lot from his stuff here today. From his book, this book. But he says, thus for the past 40 years, the spending of Washington's elected officials has been out of control and is now threatening the financial stability of America and the world economy. Not surprisingly, America's rapidly increasingly indebtedness now has many leaders concerned. For instance, on August 1st, 2011, Prime Minister of Russia, the president there, now president, Vladimir Putin, speaking to a pro-Kremlin youth group, said, in quotes here, the U.S. is a living parasite of the global economy. Putin continued, saying that the U.S. is living beyond its means and shifting a part of the weight of its problems to the world economy. Now remember the harlot. Once she's not useful to them anymore, there's a hatred. And that's what's going to happen at some point, I believe, to America. The rest of the nations are going to realize that because of this whole debt system is created, it's a Ponzi scheme, and it's headquartered in New York City with the world banking systems. Once that system falls, who are they going to attack? Who are they going to blame for it? The great United States of America. We're going to go to Revelation 18, verse 1 here. And we're going to read through chapter 18. And after these things I saw, another angel came down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and a holt of every false spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So in the end times, there's going to be this nation that is the great superpower of the world that is filled with all of this wickedness, this moral depravity, this, we're talking about the million abortions a year, and so on. And there we have what replaced the Twin Towers here, was the One World Trade Center, and its height all the way up to the peak is 1,776 feet. Supposedly representing America's independence. And we talked about how right at the base here, it was where America was basically consecrated as a nation with George Washington. And so that's what we have there. All right, so we talked about this We talked about this a little bit, I think, already. But anyways, Babylon's transition from glory to destruction. Under Nebuchadnezzar, there were the glory days. And under Belshazzar, it was it became corrupt and finally decayed to the point of destruction. And I believe this template is really what we're seeing in America today. It started out having glory days because there was a certain degree of morality, even though not all of its people were dedicated Christians. There was still a basis of right and wrong. And now that line has been totally erased. And it's turning into something totally different. Becoming the holt of every foul and unclean spirit. We talked about how Nebuchadnezzar actually cherished learning. He was a man of certain standards and morality. He believed in science, diversity, and tolerance. He wasn't much different than some of the founding fathers of America. 18 verse 3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her." Remember, this is coming from a city. "And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Now, China is one nation, for example, that is its economy is based off of our consumption. And, you know, without America's economy, without the people constantly consuming things in this country, the rest of the world economy would falter at this point. And I'm going to move to the next thing here. All right, I'm going to read this quote here. As you shall see, it shall be established that John's vivid description of the merchants of the earth becoming rich through their commerce and trade with the woman coincides with the free trade policies of the United States of America. So when you're looking at it, it's free trade. It's free trade, really. It means free trade among nations is we're not going to put tariffs on your goods. And so it in a sense, it makes us into an economic harlot, if you would. It doesn't cost them anything. Okay, New York is the capital of the world because it contains the headquarters of the United Nations. It is the best known city on the earth. It is the wealthiest city of modern times. Its influence is felt in every corner of this planet. It has the world's largest education system. It is the biggest and busiest manufacturing city in the world. Robert F. Wagner once saying of New Yorkers, "Make more, sell more, buy more, eat more, and enjoy more than all the citizens of any other state in the world." It is the financial capital of the world. It is the headquarters for the most biggest corporations on earth. Remember, this is the place. This is where it's all at. We also have the Federal Reserve there. That is really the core of Mystery Babylon. It controls finances around the world. There's the World Bank, the United Nations, Wall Street, the Temple of Understanding. All these interfaith groups are all headquartered there. It's the news headquarters of the world. You turn on any news station, everything's headquartered, whether it's Fox News, ABC, NBC, it's all headquartered in New York. It's the headquarter of marketing, culture, the occult. Everything is in New York City when you really look at it. Okay, let me see here. I'm going to read down at the second paragraph there. "Today, under the free trade policies of both Democrat and Republican administrations, America has become the international trade center for the nations of the world. And the wholesale merchants of the earth have become rich beyond their wildest dreams." So really, you know, with free trade, what happens is the corporations make money, the big corporations, we're talking about not the little businesses. We're not talking socialism here or anything like that, but we're talking about the big guys make all this money because they're not getting taxed. They have no loyalty to our country. In addition to that, because people are able to import their goods into our nation for free, we, the citizens, pay the taxes for them. When, in a sense, they should actually, if we set up tariffs, they would be paying most of our government needs. They would be paying the bill. We wouldn't even need an income tax. Anyways, did I finish reading that? Okay, third paragraph here. "Remarkably, some 2,000 years ago, the Hebrew prophet of the Apocalypse wrote about a historic woman, the deified queen of Babylon, Semiramis, who he personified as the great latter-day nation, codenamed Babylon. As a result of the removal of tariffs, taxes on foreign imports, and foreign aid, the advocates of free trade have progressively built a global economy where the U.S. dollar dominates all other national currencies. Simply stated, in a world of almost 200 nations, the U.S. dollar has ruled since the end of World War II. All right, move on to this other one here, and then we'll get back into the scriptures. The marketing of America's wine. Today, beyond any possible contradiction, television and movies have become the primary mediums through which corporate America is marketing sex, violence, and profanity to the masses of people in America and around the world. Indeed, since 1993, no media outlet has been able to capitalize on the worldwide youth market like MTV, the rock music television station. For instance, by 1993, MTV's popular rock and roll programming was available on a daily basis to 210 million households in 71 countries. Today, MTV can be seen in 330 million households in 140 countries. And if you look at what MTV promotes, it's occultism, it's blasphemy. It's all satanic rituals and things like that. It's not a joke. It's not something like, well, no, it's just paganism or whatever. No, it's the real deal. It's Mystery Babylon. So basically what you see is everything is coming out primarily from New York City. You have, back to the news, the big news networks. I mean, they're brainwashing people with propaganda. I mean, that's what Mystery Babylon, one of her methods of deception, was said to be sorcery. Well, sorcery doesn't necessarily mean you have to put a drug in somebody or something like that. It's mind control techniques. That's what sorcery includes. Anything to alter your state of reality. Because you see things different than what they really are. And that's what their mastermind's at doing. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people." Now that's a big clue there where you know God's people would actually be living in Babylon. This isn't some far off place where we're unfamiliar with. "That you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." So the plagues to that city are coming. And maybe even a farther reach than just that city, obviously. But verse 5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now what we've been seeing in America here lately with the same-sex marriage and things like that, all this perversion, those sins right now are reaching up to heaven. I mean, this isn't just like it was, 70 years ago where it was a nation where you could have freedom of religion and all that and everybody sort of respected each other. We're living in a time where it's the sins are just piling up. Now, verse 6, he says, "Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double." Now, I'm going to go into this a little bit probably when we get to the Statue of Liberty. But originally, the original design, supposedly, and they actually made it, I guess. I haven't been able to verify this, but was a golden cup. But then they turned it into a torch because they wanted it to be used as a lighthouse for ships back then. But originally, the Statue of Liberty was supposed to have a golden cup. And they made it, and somebody else bought it, supposedly, and nobody knows where it is today. Verse 7, "How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, I am and am no widow, and I shall see no sorrow." America will never be destroyed. We will conquer. We will defeat the terrorists. Nothing is going to happen to us. We will be victorious. We've heard that over and over again. And a queen, I'm the superpower of the world. I'm on my throne. I'm not getting off of it. And you're going to see this all come to play. This is the attitude that we've had. But now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to knock on America. But when we're trying to build a kingdom on anything other than the laws of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, it shouldn't be glorified. It should be corrected. And you know, the prophets of the old time, they went to the Israelites and they told them what they were doing was wrong, and they didn't you know, soft pedal it and say, you guys are great, but, you know, there's a little bit of problems. No, he said, this is what you're doing. And they hated him for it. Nobody wants to hear that you're doing something wrong, especially those in positions of leadership. So in other words, this lady, she's this mystery Babylon, she's saying, I am the great superpower of the world. Nothing will happen to me. And check this out. This is right after 9/11. This is really going to get sort of bizarre. You got to check this out. This was Tom Daschle's speech. It's about 4 minutes long here. Right after 9/11.
It is with pain, a symbol for 212 years of the strength of our democracy. And say that America will emerge from this tragedy as we have emerged from all adversity, united and strong. The America in which we woke today is far different from the one in which we woke yesterday. This morning, as our rescue workers and medical personnel continue their heroic work, we begin to truly understand the enormity of what happened. My heart aches for the people of New York, our men and women serving at the Pentagon, the passengers and crew of the 4 hijacked aircraft, and for their families and friends. These attacks were an assault on our people and on our freedom. They aimed at the heart of the American community and the symbols and structures of our economic and military strength. As an American, as an elected representative, I am outraged. As a husband and a father, I am pained beyond words. Last night, we sent a message to the world that even in the face of such cowardly and heinous acts, the doors of democracy will not close. This joint resolution we lay down today condemns yesterday's attacks, expresses our sympathy for the victims, and our support for the president as our commander-in-chief. The world should know that the members of both parties in both houses stand united in this. The full resources of our government will be brought to bear in aiding the search and rescue and in hunting down those responsible and those who may have aided or harbored them. Nothing can replace the losses of those that have suffered. I know that there is only the smallest measure of inspiration that can be taken from this devastation. But there is a passage in the Bible from Isaiah that I think speaks to all of us at times like this. The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars. That is what we will do. We will rebuild and we will recover. The people of America will stand strong together, because the people of America have always stood together. And those of us privileged to serve this great nation will stand with you. God bless the people of America. I yield the floor.
All right. You might be wondering, what's the big deal about what he said there? He quoted from Isaiah chapter 9. Let's go see what that says in context. This is where it gets really, where you know that God orchestrated this whole thing. Remember that Twin Towers came down as really as a punishment. God put it in their hearts, the Islamic extremists, to hate America, to start our series of judgments. And that's what 9/11 really was. You go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8. And it says, "The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria." Now check this out. "That say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." So this is a statement of defiance against Almighty God that he quoted there. That this isn't something that's good. It's not a good rebuilding. It's, we're going to do it anyways, even though, God, you're correcting us. You're punishing us, but never mind you, we're going to build back bigger and stronger. And that was the whole, that's been the whole message ever since 9/11. There's been no national repentance to God, no change of heart. They saying "God bless America" on the steps of the Capitol or whatever. That didn't mean anything because we haven't done it, never took any steps of real repentance to seek his ways. Let's continue reading. "Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together." This is what our future looks like. More enemies are going to be coming. Verse 12, "The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away." In other words, he's not going to repent of his anger at this point. "But his hand is stretched out still." Stretched out still for correction. "For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts." In other words, it was God who was smiting us. 9/11, I have no doubt it was God correcting us. It was God's hand. But yet we can only see through a dim view that it's the Islamic terrorists and we're going to go get those bad guys. There's some more that I'm going to show you about that. But anyways, "Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and the honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still in judgment. For wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke." You get the picture. That was a statement of defiance of what Israel did back in their time. When God sent enemy armies against them, they ignored the fact that it was God's correction, and they said, "Nope, we're going to build back stronger and better." Here's one fascinating thing about this. At ground zero, right out in front, where this nation became a nation officially under the government we have, George Washington was, there's a church there right across the street from ground zero, St. Paul's Chapel. There was a sycamore tree up there that was destroyed from ground zero. It actually protected the church. If that tree wasn't there, the church would have burned up as well. That tree later was removed and put in... I actually saw it probably like 5 years ago. They have the roots and everything sitting up. You can search this on YouTube, the sycamore tree of ground zero. And it's all painted there, it's all preserved, and this big trunk of a tree as a symbol. In its place, that was a sycamore tree. He read fig tree on there. He read that his translation was different, Tom Daschle's. But it's a sycamore tree, and they replaced it with a cedar tree, just as the scripture said. You took down our sycamores, we'll replace them with cedars because cedars are supposed to be bigger and stronger trees than a sycamore. And that tree was called the Tree of Hope. They actually gathered around and dedicated this tree to America's future, that it was, it's filled with hope and things like that. And then back in 2011, that tree withered and died. And they tried everything they could to save it. They even replaced the soil around its base. In other words, you know, like Christ, he went and cursed the fig tree as a symbol of the nation. They were trying to say that that tree was a symbol of our nation rebuilding bigger, badder, and stronger than it was before, that cedar tree, and it withered and died. I mean, that is exactly according to the scriptures what we've been doing ever since then. I mean, it's so if we want to know what's happening, what's going to happen, we need to be mentally and spiritually prepared. Because as we're going to get into the battle of Haman and Gog tomorrow, and a lot of people look at that as a premillennial battle. But I'm going to show a different view of that, where I believe it's only a post-millennial. I mean, it happens after the millennium. Because we're looking at that, we're thinking, well, Haman and Gog is the time when God's going to step in and protect America. But he's not going to protect America in these end days. We're going to get the judgment. He's not going to save a nation at this point that is sticking their finger up at him in rebellion against him. The judgment's coming. Anyways, you'll see we're going to really document that tomorrow. And many of you will be thinking, looking at it, saying, I can't believe how simple that was. Why did I make it so complicated? Revelation 18, verse 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. So this has got to be a literal place that's burning, a literal city, that they're really disappointed. You know, everything we built our lives on, it's gone. Standing up far off for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city. Remember, that's codenamed Babylon. That's not ancient Babylon. For in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. In other words, let's go over to the next verse here. The merchandise of gold and of silver and of precious stones, of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, and all thy thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass, of iron and marble, all these luxury items, World Trade Center, it's all traded in New York today, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and the horses and chariots, now check this out, and slaves and the souls of men. You know, you think about the way the world economy is set up today. Many of us were slaves as far as, we're heavily taxed. But if you take this, you look at some of these third world countries like China and India, because of free trade, their government policies don't really protect against child labor and things like that. So let's take China, for example. They want to get rich and be strong, you know, like just like every other nation. So they allow children at young ages to work in factories, ungodly hours, and it's all part of propping up Mystery Babylon. And we can't really get away with that. I mean, we go to Walmart and things like that. We buy the products from China made by slave labor and things like that. Now, I'm not one to say, well, I'm not going to go to this store or that store, because you can't go anywhere now without buying something like that. You can't remove yourself totally from Babylon in that respect, at least at this time. Verse 14, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more. In other words, you look at the lifestyle everybody lives today, I mean, it's all going to end. It could happen tomorrow, it could happen 5 months from now, but it's going to happen suddenly and quick. And a lot of people, even a lot of Christians, aren't expecting that. They're even, in a sense, they have the heart of the queen as well. They're saying nothing's going to happen to us. We can just continue doing what we're doing. We're America. We're the superpower. God bless the USA when we don't do anything to deserve blessings at this point. Verse 15, the merchants of these things, which were made rich by her and stand afar off for fear of her torment, they're weeping and wailing. Remember, the 10 kings hate the whore and they burn her with fire. This is it right here. 16. And saying, now picture that. All the Islamic nations probably, as well as Russia and maybe China, are coming and attacking this city and probably a lot of other cities across America. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, that's suddenly. People aren't ready for this. For in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off. This is the fall of the world economy because of this city being destroyed. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city. You see that over and over again, the great city. Mystery Babylon ultimately is a city. I can't say that enough. It's not just some vague abstract idea, and it's not just a world system. It's a world system, but it's headquartered in a city. It always is. Again, it went from Babylon to other nations, other cities, but I'll say it simply, from Babylon to Rome to New York, if you want a simple outline. Wherein was made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. You might be thinking, well, how, you know, look at what's going on with this love wins and Christians are the haters. So this might get to the point where, you know, we're heavily persecuted in this country, even to the point of martyrdom for some. And, you know, this stuff is going on even financed in large part. A lot of stuff that goes around the world, a lot of people don't understand, but it's financed in New York City. Nearly every war, at least since World War I and World War II. But you even have ISIS over there killing Christians. And Christian persecution is happening around the world. People are dying to this day, probably as I speak, for Christianity. Our time will come, probably. 18 verse 21, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Now, this is one reason why I believe it's new. A lot of people think it was Jerusalem. I think I used to teach it was Jerusalem. Jerusalem, yeah, it gets destroyed. The top part of it, the temple does. But the city is not sunk into the bottom of the sea, never to rise again. It's cleansed. This city goes into the sea. And you look at a map of New York, it's right on the coast of the ocean. This is just probably looking forward to it just falling into the sea and never coming again. You know, there's a lot of mysterious things in the past, you know, dealing with different ages of time, maybe the First World Age, where there were cities and maybe even continents that were once up on top that are now down at the bottom of the ocean. So this isn't something really that new. And the voice of the harpers and the musicians and of the pipers and the trumpeters shall no more be no more at all be in thee. No more craftsmen of whatsoever craft he shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. You know, New York is interesting because it's like the capital of, known as the capital of entertainment and music even. That's where all this happened. You look at movies in the 20s. Like all these famous movies, they always glorified New York. New York was to people like the shining city on a hill, but not the Christian city on a hill, obviously. But everybody looked to it as this mighty world city. This is what we want to be like. And then other cities, obviously Minneapolis, they're just miniature versions of New York, really. 23, and the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. Now check this out, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. It was the merchants that were the great men of the earth. The merchants were even greater than the kings. That's why we're talking about these global corporations. The CEO is on top of these. Now, again, I'm not teaching some socialist message. This is the way it is. The heads of these global corporations have more power than our political leaders, our presidents and things like that. They're controlled by these money powers. If they don't play ball, they don't get campaign finance. And that's what's one thing interesting about Donald Trump here lately. I'm not saying I necessarily agree with him or support him or think he's a great Christian man, but he's not really controlled by the money powers. It seems he's not anyways, because he already has all the money that he needs and he's using his own money to finance his campaign. But that's not a campaign pitch for Donald Trump, but just wanted to bring that up. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. All right. So basically, I'll repeat it again. You have Babylon rises. It comes to its greatness. It becomes the greatest superpower of the world, headquartered in one city, New York. And it falls, and something else fills that vacuum, which I have no doubt would be an Islamic caliphate, probably, along with Russia and China. And they're not too happy with us. They want to destroy us. And that's your beautiful future that you have awaiting you. Make you happy. But no, I mean, out of all seriousness, I really believe this is the end time scenario. And we're going to develop it even a little bit more here tonight and tomorrow morning. Any questions?
comparison, you see how it goes from Islam caliphate, radical Islam, Islamism, or, to, one world religion, you know what I mean, where more peace is incorporated, or, just wondering how it's going to make that,
I forgot some of the most important verses of this study. I'm going to fill this in and I'm going to read them. I had a slide on. I don't know what I did with it. I'm going to go to Daniel here. It's just a few verses. And it goes, your question there just sparked it back into my mind. Thank you for that. Daniel chapter 11, verse 31. Excuse me. Actually, we can go to... I'll just start at 31. Let's read through it. An arm shall stand on his part, speaking of the Antichrist here, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and they shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Now, this is where basically it does... The world headquarters, I believe, moves from New York to Jerusalem at this point, when the abomination is set up in the temple. I probably should have mentioned that before. We're not saying that Jerusalem has nothing to do with end times prophecy. It just happens later than what many people think. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame and by captivity and by spoil many days. This isn't some figurative spiritual thing. This is literal. Flame, sword, and captivity. This is what the end times is about. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Christ would say in Revelation, he said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." Here's what we're coming here for. Verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. Because remember, Babylon is a system full of many gods. You can worship your ways as long as it doesn't contradict with the big goal. As long as your way isn't better than somebody else's way. As long as you can't say the only way to heaven is through Jesus. If you say that, that gets to be a little extreme. So then he said, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. And a lot of people don't realize that. When this all goes down, the Antichrist ultimately is going to be standing up against God openly, just like he probably did in the first earth age, by his own name. It's what we're seeing today. We saw that video in the beginning where they were mocking God's law. Saying, "Oh, is that the kind of God you worship?" And he starts, totally twisted it. That's the kind of stuff we're going to see. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above every God. When it says he's not going to regard women, he's talking about the goddesses. We're going to talk about the goddess of liberty here soon, tonight. This is talking about all other religions. He's going to put an end to it. There's not going to be unity and diversity anymore. It's you worship the Antichrist, or you might have to face his great white throne judgment, so to speak. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, a God whom his father knew not. Shall he honor with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things, and so forth. But anyways, that's the prophecy of Mystery Babylon falling in the book of Daniel, where it says he's not gonna acknowledge any other gods but himself, which is the big change there. And that's what the ten horns are doing. What's interesting is Islam, and some of this stuff I still have to work through. Islam does believe in one God. They don't like this Mystery Babylon system. They know the filth of pornography and Hollywood and all this devil worship stuff in our culture, but yet they still worship a false god. They believe in one god, but it's a false god. So it'll be interesting to see how this develops. And they like to behead people. And beheading is talked about in Revelation for Christians even. So it seems to fit the bill. Back in the day, the Assyrians, if you look at any kind of ancient artifact about the Assyrians. They look exactly like that. I have no doubt they're the same descend, or the Islamic extremists like ISIS and all those guys. They're the same descendants. And the Assyrians were known for their great terror and terrorism, for terrorizing people. They were brutal. They weren't like the Babylonians. The Babylonians, you know, weren't quite as brutal as they were. You know, Nebuchadnezzar actually let the king, Zedekiah? He was going to let him have power and have him rule over Jerusalem. And as long as he paid his taxes and everything too. But once he went against them, yeah, then Nebuchadnezzar was very severe. But the Assyrians were something altogether different. They were brutal, vicious terrorists. Any more questions?
Yeah, just add to that, you know, if you've seen depictions of the Assyrians taking the Israelites into captivity, it will show some of them with a sword in their hand, one hand and a head in the other hand.
It's exactly, they're the same people doing the same thing. And God, what did God do? He sent the Assyrians against Israel for their sin. He's doing it again. It's just a repeat. It's amazing. And our leaders are repeating the same exact words as our leaders did back, you know, thousands of years ago, 2,500 years ago. God, only God can make that happen. With Tom Daschle. And it wasn't just Tom Daschle doing it. Another Democratic leader quoted this exact same verse. And, you know, sometimes we get in this left-right paradigm and we think how everybody on the right was just perfect and they're the godly and against the ungodly. But it's not that way. President Bush, though maybe a good man, a moral man, he still had the idolatry in his heart of this world order, this utopia. He was still an idolater. Israelite kings, there were some good Israelite kings, but they still, a lot of them still, God would say they were good, but they allowed the idolatry or whatever. That's what you see on the right a lot of times. They're still idolaters, they're just a little bit more moral than the other side. But his main message was the same, we're going to rebuild. He went around everywhere, we're going to rebuild, we're coming back stronger. But no national call to repentance. It's we're going to do it by our economic might. We're going to get our engines turning again, and we're going to defeat this. And that's why we are where we are today. And shortly after that, now look at what's happened. It's crazy what's happened since 9/11. Who would ever think that? Who would have ever thought we'd elect a president with a Muslim name that used to be a Muslim after you got attacked by Muslims? I mean, that's just pure. How could you? Maybe 50 years from now, but right afterwards? I mean, what's wrong with these people? His middle name is Hussein. Barack Hussein Obama. And we. Wow.
No, I mean, that changed his name to that.
Don't
they? Still elected him. He used to be Barry Sartoro.
That's right.
He changed his name to that, and they still elected him.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, these are some fascinating times we're living in. With all those blood wounds we're talking about, we're definitely moving into an era, I believe, of judgment.
You know, another thing we haven't really talked about or you haven't brought up for very little, we keep talking about that city, and we're talking about Hollywood, and we're talking about a lot of corruption in the Federal Reserve, but we haven't talked a lot about who it is that is running a lot of those things.
Good point.
And that city, you brought up New York a number of times, that's probably, well, at least in the world, the second largest population of where, you know, the Sons of Kings are located.
Yeah.
So, just...
Ever since, you know, that's why I think Babylon, it goes back further than the Tower of Babel. It started with Cain probably even leaving the garden and built Babylon. And he founded these mystery religions just as a way to get back at God, to delude the minds of the people into all this other nonsense, into devil worship. And then all he did was, when an empire would fall or whatever, those same people would move to another country and control that country.
Right.
You just follow those people, and it's Mystery Babylon, as always, goes with them.
Interesting, too, that the same people that we're talking about, they're... Well, in Revelation it says that they're the synagogue of Satan, but the book that they use to study from starts with the word Babylonian.
Yeah, the Babylonian Talmud.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's a... Yeah, I mean, when you dig into it and you really look into who's promoting, who owns these, who's promoting all the pornography, the banking and everything, it's always an inner circle of the same family.
Yeah.
it's amazing.
That's good stuff. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. For me, I don't know enough about it. I know there is, I don't want to downplay any conspiracy. I don't want to downplay conspiracy theories altogether, because this whole world is in a conspiracy. It's Satan trying to deceive the world using all kinds of, sorcery, mass mind control. But I do know that the verse says that God puts in the ten kings' hearts to hate the whore and to eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So even if there wasn't an orchestrated campaign, a conspiracy behind 9/11, there definitely still is that hatred to attack everything that America stands for today over there. I was over there, I served over in Iraq, and I guarded a detainee camp, or I was a guard at a detainee camp for the last couple months I was there. And, they definitely hate us for what we are. So it's just kind of a complicated issue that...
I guess when you look at, the architects, I don't know if you've seen the thing that they've signed, thousands of architects that, looked into how the towers fell and Building 7 and stuff like that, and they say that there's no way that it was just by the planes.
Yeah.
So I was just curious on what your thoughts were.
Well, there are, what's interesting, there are, in paganism, occult rituals are very important to them. They do sacrifices and things like that. They did it in World War II here. I won't go into that today. But there was a... I haven't verified it, but there was some bizarre imagery back in 1993 with the cartoons and stuff like that, where they showed planes in the background, where you wouldn't even be looking at that. Planes in the background going into the World Trade Center. Now that could be somebody possessed with a demon who knew it was going to happen or what, we don't know. But it is interesting that that some of that bizarre stuff was there. Here's one thing, and I don't want to get too much into conspiracy here, but it is said by some that, Satan likes to, his workers enjoy, or they feel it's like some of their code of ethics or whatever, to tell people in one way or the other what they're going to do before they do it. And somehow, I don't know why they do it, but it's just something they do. And if you do notice it, you'll see a lot of stuff throughout Hollywood and movies and stuff like that. It's usually, if you look 5 years back from one of those movies, something that was in that movie actually happened later on. So I don't know if they get a charge out of it, that we're so stupid sometimes, they're going to just tell us what they're going to do, then they do it. But it's interesting. I'm not an expert on that, so Frank gets into that a lot. He went to the bathroom. I hope I think he's locked on.
We're talking about a little bit about that, you remember those old airplane movies?
Yeah.
You look at who those were made by, they make fun of every other ethnic, creed, and religion.
Yeah.
But, when you're talking about how you see stuff in those movies and then it comes to pass, in the second airplane, funny enough, it shows good-looking women walking through this X-ray screen before they get on the plane, and then of course it shows I see right through their clothing, and now we have TSA now, which is similar to that. It's just kind of interesting stuff there.
Yeah.
Stuff like that you see years ago is real now.
Yeah. It is interesting.
A form of comedy then. Now it's like.
Talking about what we're talking about, Mark, could you open the back door for him? I think he's trying to get it. There was this television series. I don't watch very much television, but this one kind of caught my eye, and I decided to follow the series. It was called Revolution, and it was about America's current government falling. And, no power, no electricity and everything. Now you got all these modern houses and everything, but not, it's like back into the 1700s or whatever. And, it was interesting because you could see if America's system is controlled in New York and it represents Babylon the Great, that looks like something like that could really happen, where we could lose all the power and be living in a totally different way of life for a while. We're not going to get into it this weekend, but there's that wilderness area that God takes His people to for 1260 days. So there may be a place in America when the punishment starts coming that God brings us to where we're shielded from, you know, Babylon's punishment. I wouldn't think that we would be burning with her, because he tells us to rejoice over her downfall. I'm not, when I say rejoice over her downfall, I'm not saying that we should hate America and want her to fall, but I'm saying the systems that are running it right now are so badly corrupt that, well, they're nothing to rejoice for at this time. Any other questions?
What is MTV? What is that?
Oh, MTV?
That station.
Music Television Station? Is that what it stands for?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have cable or satellite, find it and watch it, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
It's on TV.
Yeah, it's the most popular. I have it blocked at my house. I've always blocked that channel. I don't even want to see it surfing. But that's the most popular music television station for kids and people virtually around the world. Oh, yeah.
Have you seen Gravity Falls? I know you have kids. I don't know if you've come across that. I mean, they have Egyptian stuff, Freemasonry stuff. I cannot even believe it when I watched it.
Yeah.
It's just so much.
It's really bad.
They had numerology in it, and they, were there even talking about it,
There's not any good children's programming that doesn't have, you know, there might be something that's halfway decent, and then they slip something, they're always slipping something in.
What show did you sit
there? Gravity Falls.
Yeah,
you should check it out.
Yeah, I should have just saw that.
I think it's on Disney.
Yeah,
that
makes
sense. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to support our ministry, please go to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory.